Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome to another episode of the Close Up Magic, part of the Orlando Magic HQ Network. What's going on? I'm your host, Stephen Cameron. And today we got a really fun show. We got my friend Steve Cerruti from The Ringer. He is like the man behind the scenes. He works with Ryan Russillo, Bill Simmons. You know, when they want to talk Magic, they bring him on. You might have heard him on a lot of the soccer content with the Ringer soccer show going on right now. But he joins me for a really fun conversation. We didn't really have anything planned. We just like, let's just hop on a call and just start talking about the Magic, their off season, kind of like think a little bit about last year. Let's look a little bit about next year. We talk a little bit about like some media perspective stuff, given his role with the Ringer. It was a really fun conversation. Steve is a great guy. You know, he lives up in Connecticut. He's not a local Magic fan, but he is a true Magic fan and knows more about this Magic team than quite a few people. So I think y'all are going to be really entertained with this conversation. It's really fun. It's really, really fun. Make sure you go give Steve a follow on Twitter. And, yeah, but before we get into the conversation with Steve, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about what's been going on this summer with us, right? So with Orlando Magic HQ, we're still putting out content. If you're not tuning in, we are putting up constantly. We're uploading new custom stuff just for YouTube. We talk about, you know, the recent drafted player in Tristan Da Silva. We covered free agency super deeply. We're going to be covering Summer League. You know, we got Brett James. He's been going, our senior reporter. He's been going to you know, some of the Summer League practices and media sessions around on that in Orlando, which has been really great. So make sure you're tapping into that. We got Alan Anthony still doing their, the flagship Orlando Magic HQ show. We're pumping some stuff out and we got some great plans for the future. So, stay tuned into all things Orlando Magic HQ. And then before we get to the conversation, I just want to remind you all that We are part of the Believe Podcast Network, and this podcast is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right, all up to top fights in the UFC and MMA and boxing. Bet Online is the place to be. Every stat, every matchup, and even live odds and spreads while the games are being played are updated on BetOnline constantly, and it's very easy to read too. When the game's over, you head over to the online casinos, and you can even get in on a game of blackjack and poker and unwind with some of the slot machines they have. They have 150 slot games digitally that you can play on BetOnline. It's pretty neat if you enjoy gambling. Do it responsibly. Head over to the website today to get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, BLEAV, for your 50% free bet credit on your first deposit up to $250. Bet Online, the game starts here. Cool. That just about touches all the pre-conversation topics. I'm not going to drag this on too long. Let's get into the conversation with Steven Cerruti. All right, Magic fans, like I told you, we got the Ringer's own Steve Cerruti. What's going on, Steve? Thanks for joining me today.
Absolutely. Good to be back. You know, exciting times. Franz extension. You know, see what happens with Suggs. And we've been talking, there's been a lot of Magic articles on the Ringer recently. Michael Pina, who writes for us, has been a big Magic believer. So it's good to see.
Yeah, that article definitely made its way around the community the last couple of days. I enjoyed reading that. Yeah, it was great. He also just did a segment with one of our partners, Brandon Kravitz, today, which was really cool. I'm looking forward to like checking out that segment later. Steve, before we get too into it, I got a little bit of an icebreaker question for us, all right?
Okay.
In about 10 months, what are you and I going to be doing to celebrate the Orlando Magic champions of 2025? How do we celebrate?
See, I've been accused of being like too patient of a fan, and so my expectations just like aren't like my expectations are high, but they're not that high. I do think there's a really good chance. It's like, hey, this team, could they be the second best team in the East? Like, I think everybody's talking about the Knicks, everybody's talking about the Sixers, and I don't really fully believe in either of those teams. So I do think there's a case to be like, hey, could they be in the Eastern Conference Finals? I'll take that next year in a heartbeat. No doubt about it. I'll take a playoff win. I'll take all that stuff. But listen, a title, a finals appearance, I'll take that too. But I'm not next year is like, again, a little baby steps. I'm not trying to let the cart get ahead of the horse a little bit too much.
You haven't started the celebration plans? Like, I'm already looking at flights to Orlando to you know, go to the parade, might take a flight in between Orlando and California to Vegas to pop some champagne with Caldwell Pope and some of the guys, you know.
He knows how. Like, yeah, he knows how.
He does. He knows how to celebrate. I'm like, I feel like I got to get ahead of this now. So flights are and hotels are the cheapest they'll be before then. So,
well, the good news is you could just transfer your hotels to, I mean, it's a vacation place too, right? So somebody will just take your hotel.
True.
It's just like, it's an easy transferable thing. I'm thinking give me 2 years, give me 2027 in that range. Really, everybody's kind of like hitting their prime. Maybe we get a point guard in here. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe Suggs takes that turn to be the main guy that can run the offense. But give me 2 years before I really get the excitement levels up. Next year, so everybody was like, this year, I remember we were talking before about, like, I think the Magic's over under was what, 37.5? And
yeah,
I felt pretty good about that. And I was like, listen, would I take a 41-41 season? Yeah. And then I had some people being like, 40, like, that's 500. What do you mean? Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, they should be better than this. And there's so many other people who were like, oh, they need to sign somebody or you know, just sort of speed up, I guess, the process a little bit. I'm patient, man. We were bad for 12 years. I'm going to just enjoy this team as it is. So I hope they can get there. But I'll take an Eastern Conference Finals series in a heartbeat. I think most Magic fans would as well. But hey, listen, if we can get to the finals, I'll take that too.
I got the 95 Eastern Conference Finals hat on.
You're ready to go.
So I'm primed. I'm ready to go. I mean, okay, to get a little bit, you know, more serious into it, you know, before we dive into some of the other stuff, like, I'm the same way. Like, when you look at fandom right now and where we've been as a fan base and people who follow and cover this team, it's been a long 12 years. It's been a very long time. And last year, as a fan was one of the most fun years we've ever had, because expectations were very, like, they were raised a little bit, but they weren't super high. We were like, let's just make the play-in at the beginning of the year. And then we adjusted midway through, and let's just not be embarrassed in the playoffs. And then we pushed it to 7, and we saw Paulo be a superstar in the playoff and have, you know, superstar moments in the playoffs. And, you know, Franz had a couple moments within the series. You know, overall, I think he wished he performed better. But, like, you know, we it was just so much fun to see this team succeed, have big wins versus really good teams, and have – You know, areas that are clear that need to be improved. But it's like you change the DNA of the roster too much, and then all of a sudden expectations get higher for us as fans, and it's easier for us to get disappointed with different results. Like, you know, hypothetically speaking, if we changed the plan and signed Paul George and we only make the second round, we as a fan base are going to be so upset. But right now, if we don't make this past the second round, we're still going to be thrilled and excited. So, like, that's one way to think about, like, being okay with not making a big splashy move this summer. I'm not sure exactly how you feel about all the moves we made yet. We'll get into that. But I was thinking about that a lot. Like, it's only going to be harder as fans going forward because we're going to expect more from this team. Is that something you feel as well?
Yeah. I mean, I feel like this, you know, steady playoff team year in, year out, at least for the next couple years, feels like it's the low bar, which, you know, is tough because it's still a young team. The East is, you know, you never know. Like, the East is still, we were going through it the other day. I mean, obviously Boston's on top. You got the Knicks, you've got the Sixers, you've got the Bucks who are still kind of lingering there. There's four teams that, you know, I think we all think are pretty good and certainly have, like, superstars on their team. And obviously we think we have one, and we do have one with Paulo. You know, then you've got a Pacers team that made the Eastern Conference Finals. I don't particularly, like, love the team, and I'd rather be us than them, but they're still obviously in the mix. Then you talk about the Cavs, who we obviously lost to in the playoffs last year, who have a significantly better head coach, in my opinion, right now than they did last year. Pretty much. I mean, they have some parts that don't really fit together, but I think that's, you know, maybe that'll get sorted out. I don't know how long Allen and I think, I mean, Mobley, I think, will be there, but, you know, obviously you have Mitchell signs the extension. There's always rumors about him wanting to ask out. And then Garland's a guy that I've always been on the trade machine trying to figure out how we get him on the Magic. But that's another team again. So that's what I just named, like, 6-7 teams. Like, there actually are a good amount of teams in the Eastern Conference that you're going to have to compete with. And, you know, who knows? Like, maybe the Hawks have a bounce back year. I don't think so, but you never know. So, like, there are, it is a little bit congested in there, but I do like them. I think our ceiling, you know, probably below Boston, you know, I don't think it's ridiculous to think, because young teams typically still, they play hard in the regular season, right? They care about the regular season. Like, I don't know that the Bucks are going to care about the regular season next year. So is it ridiculous for us to potentially try to get a 2 seed? I mean, I think home court would be phenomenal. That'd be a phenomenal goal in the first round. We almost had it this year, which would have been pretty ridiculous.
Yeah, totally.
Considering. So I think that's the goal. And you're right. Like, the expectations are, it's a double-edged sword because, you know, obviously, like, you want this, but it's like, if, you know, the higher you reach, then the more, I guess, you know, disappointed you're setting yourself up to be. But I don't know. Like, I don't know. It would take a lot for me to be disappointed in them next year. You know, like, even like a first round exit, it depends on what it would look like. You know, who are we playing? What seed is it? How healthy are we? So, like, you just don't know. But yeah, like, I think, you know, clearly we're trending upwards, but that's the thing too. And Priscilla and I always talk about this is, you know, whenever we talk about young teams or young players, we just assume that the graph is always going straight up and to the right, right? And it doesn't usually work that way. That's usually up and down and bumpy, and you hope it generally goes up, but it's not always just straight up on the same trajectory. So I'm excited. I'm optimistic as I've ever been. And, you know, but you just don't know. You don't know. So maybe, you know, maybe the Knicks, who knows, there could be an injury in the East too that helps us out or hurts us. So I think steady playoff team and then pushing for a top 4 seed is what next year's goal should be.
Yeah, I think I overall agree with that. You know, like, I joked in the beginning about, you know, championship. I don't actually think that. I would love to just be like a really, like, we're in a playoff position the entire regular season. We get to fight for standings towards the end and be in that playoff race a bit. Yeah, and then, you know, like, cool, let's have an awesome first round. Ideally, it's a matchup that we do well in. We get to the second round, and that's a success, right? You know, if for some reason, we just have an awful matchup. And we have some injuries going on, and we get out of the first round, like, or don't make it past the first round. That, like, that would be a bummer. But, like, depending on the variables of the matchup and maybe what injuries the Magic might be dealing with, it might be a little easier easier to deal with.
Compartmentalize. That was a tough one.
That's the word. Thank you. Yeah, it is a tough one. I'm in a heat wave over here too, so my brain's a little melty. It's gonna be a fun season. I look at the offseason moves they made, and a lot of them make sense. They gave themselves a lot of flexibility. But before we go into specifics on that, going into the offseason, Steve, what were you kind of hoping and thinking was gonna happen?
The Paul George thing for me was never I never really allowed myself to believe in it, even though the stars kind of did align with some of the moves they made. You know, obviously the Mo Wagner and Fultz. There was a couple moves that they made that sort of opened it up and allowed it to be possible. And, you know, I remember just kind of tweeting out like the open eyes emoji, but I never really allowed myself to truly believe that it was going to happen.
Yeah.
And honestly, Bill Simmons, he would roast me for this, but I kind of didn't really want it to happen deep down. Like, I wouldn't have been mad about it, because clearly it raises your ceiling, and I think he actually is a pretty good fit with the rest, with the rest of the squad as that second, maybe third guy on a different night behind Paolo. But I have just enjoyed watching this team, this young team, get drafted together for whatever, trades, moves, and just like all young guys kind of build and grow up together. So if you're going to go all in on a move, I just don't know that maybe there's no ideal fit. Like, nothing's perfect. There's no perfect fits typically. You just try to, acquire talent and get better and improve the floor of your roster. So I get that, but I don't know. I would have been a little bit bummed out, because I think it would have taken away from Franz. I think it would have taken away from Suggs, and it would be interesting to see how it would have worked with Paolo, and it would have taken away from some of the guys that we've watched for so long that I still have hope and I'm still optimistic of the levels that they can reach. So I feel like next year is still kind of, it's not like we're title or bust. Like, why not just try to let these guys grow more? Like, we don't know how good some of these guys can be. So, and when you make that all in move, then the pressure's on everybody. Then it kind of changes how the fans feel, the front office feels, the players probably feel more pressure. So I'm cool with how everything went down. I like the KCP signing for sure. I mean, is it like the sexiest signing in the world? Of course not. Is he overpaid? Probably. Do I care? No, because he's a good fit on the team. And like, he's the kind of guy that you need. I mean, you could argue, okay, yeah, he didn't have a great shooting playoffs, and he certainly was the fifth option on a Denver team, now a title winning Denver team. He certainly does disappear at times on offense, but he's a veteran guy who can knock down big shots and plays excellent defense. And that's the MO of this team. So, I think overall it's a good fit. I don't really care what the money is, and it still allows us to be flexible going into the future. So I don't think, the only thing I would have wanted to add, and I don't know exactly who that is. I mean, I know a lot of people have talked about Tyus Jones, but that just doesn't seem like what this front office's MO is. Like, they don't like small guards who can't defend. But is somebody who like a real true point guard. That's why I was like, would you kick the tires on Chris Paul before he signed with San Antonio? It's like a sort of like a 1 year guy to like elevate the IQ level of the rest of this team and the young guys, and maybe run the second unit, or even in crunch times when you need them, not relying so much on Franz and Paolo. I don't know who another guy out like that is out there. That's the only critique that I would have liked to add to the roster, but how could you not like it? I mean, the team is better than it was last year.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of that is like absolutely on point. And KCP, we look at how this team operated last year with Gary Harris, and yeah, there was definitely some times where we needed a table setter on the floor, or at least on the roster, like a second unit guy that could come in and kind of slow things down a little bit. And kind of, let Paolo play a little bit more off ball. But it really sounds like everything the front office has been talking about is that like, they trust Suggs to continue to grow as a playmaker. And it sounds like they really pushed someone like Anthony Black to grow as a playmaker this offseason, which again, like right now it's even murky how he's going to fit into the rotation next year with them bringing back Gary Harris. But
I wanted to play more last year.
Yeah. Oh, God. I would have loved to have seen him get some more run in the playoffs, too. Like, he didn't really get to play much down the end of the stretch as the team got healthy. But, you know, I think they really just believe that one of those two guys is going to grow into that playmaker that will be good enough to allow Paolo to play a little bit more off ball. I think ultimately they're going to want Paolo to have the ball in his hands pretty regularly, but it's like you just need someone like 15% of the time that he had, like, remove his usage a little bit, 15% like on ball, to kind of alleviate that, let him go get up in the post and then get fed, things like that. I was never on Tyus Jones. I know Magic fans were like loving the idea of him, but to me, like, the only way you go get Tyus Jones is if you move off Cole Anthony. And I look at those two players and I'm like, I don't know if I'm moving Cole Anthony just for Tyus Jones. Like, that Cole Anthony didn't have the greatest season last year, and he might just be who he is. He might just be an up and down streaky six man player. But at the same point, he like is so important to this team's chemistry and locker room. And, you know, he does play hard. And I'm just like, I don't know if they're ready to give that up for a guy like Tyus Jones, who probably doesn't want to come off the bench and probably wants double what Cole Anthony is making. And like, I just don't know if I like ever got behind that. Plus, he's small and, you know, doesn't defend very good, as much as people want to try and sell me that he does defend. Like, he's like 6 foot.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah,
I'm with you. I, you know, Cole had a good start to the year, and then, you know, it just didn't click for the second half and even into the playoffs a little bit. I don't think it's impossible that he could still be like a really good spark plug off the bench.
Totally.
And be like a reliable, like, playoff caliber scorer at some point. Yeah, he's small, but, you know, if you need him to just like carry you for a quarter in a playoff game, like, I don't think, not carry you, but like at least give you like a good spark. Yeah. I don't think the door is closed on that for me at all. So, and then it just gets back to, like, if it's not a clear upgrade, why are we screwing with the vibes of the team? And that's kind of how I felt about really anything. And that's the cool thing about the KCP signing, is it doesn't really screw anything up. I know there was like a lot of, you know, disagreements or debates about like how valuable Gary Harris was last year. I was not anti Gary Harris, but I, the playoffs to me, like, you got to hit shots, man. Like, you got to knock down. And he had so many open shots. And, like, I know the defense was there. I'm not saying he doesn't play good defense. He does. But that's, you know, can we just get rounded out a little bit more? Can we not? Like, that's the difference in a series, if Gary Harris potentially makes some shots. So, I don't know. If it's, you know, clearly to me, KCP is a clear upgrade over him. And it's cool that we kept Gary. Who knows? Like, maybe he's trade bait in the middle of the season. I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of guys on the roster that could potentially be tradable assets, but like, KCP is just a straight up upgrade over our two guard last year. All right, cool. There you go. Done and done. And the rest and everybody's role is still kind of the same.
Yeah, it's really fun, because we did see plenty of regular season success with Gary Harris next to Jalen Suggs. You know, obviously on the defensive side it worked, and then there were some nights where they were both hitting shots, and it was really great. But, you know, I feel like when you look at someone like Gary Harris and you look at someone like KCP, it's, you know, Gary Harris will have like one game where, like, one or two games where he's hitting 45% from three. And then I'll have like four games where he's hitting like 30% from three, where it's just like the shooting is just like, when it's good, it's great. But when it's not good, it's awful. And I'm not saying Caldwell Pope's never going to have a bad shooting night, but like, you're probably not going to have a long stretch of bad shooting nights, you know, where we were hammering our fists into walls like a week or two at a time with like, dude, Gary, hit a shot. It's been like 2 weeks now. What's going on? Where it's like, you know, Pope will have ups and downs, but they're not going to be like big up and downs like we saw with Gary Harris. And then you think, okay, this team needed shooting, right? So they got a more consistent shooter who will hit bigger shots. We've known it. We've seen it with Pope. And then they take their starting shooting guard and move him to the bench. It's just like, oh, interesting. So just more connectivity, more depth, because they're both really good shooters. You know, I mean, they're both good shooters. They have different levels of consistency within their shooting, but they're both shooters. And it's just like, okay, the team is not, they didn't address the shooting with like a high volume. Klay Thompson, Buddy Hield, Gary Trent Jr., those guys all take like 8-9 attempts per game. But they just added more consistency within guys in those roles, which is really nice. You know, like you think about Joe Ingles, who was a 41% shooter last year for the Magic, but he only took one a game. Cool. You're kind of taking that guy out and you're putting in Gary Harris, who's going to take at least four. And I can confidently say that's roughly the number, because Gary was never a guy playing big starter minutes. He was never pushing like 35 minutes a game. He was always kind of closer to a high end bench players minutes rotation in that like 28 minutes per game, roughly around there. And I just think like we're just adding more depth with the shooting in that capacity. And then, you know, the draft, like they drafted Tristan Da Silva, who's like a 38% three-point shooter in college the last couple of years, you know, another big body who in theory should be able to hit shots when he's in the game. You know, obviously we need to see it translate, but in theory, like they have started to address the shooting. I don't know if it's enough to make us a top 10 shooting team in the league. I really don't think so, unless like Franz takes a huge step, which we all hope he does. But like, they could probably be at least league average now, to an extent.
I'd take league average. Yeah, listen, because with the defense that some of these guys play collectively, league average is that puts you into a whole different level of team. I mean, if you're a top five defense and a league average shooting team and our league average offensive team, like that's pretty damn good. Especially come playoff time when like, you know, defense obviously ratchets up and it's, you know, it's just kind of a different level of basketball. So I'm with you there. I mean, the interesting thing too about Gary Harris coming off the bench is, you know, he's obviously going to be playing more against second unit guys too. So like, you know, you'd imagine that his productivity would be better as well. I'm interested in, like, I'd be interested to know like what you think about, we talked about Anthony Black. I mean, Jet Howard's obviously out there as well. Like, I'm just a little more optimistic of like, get those guys some playing time in the regular season. Like, yeah. Would I actually rather see some of those guys playing more minutes than Gary Harris? Because like in the long run, that will be better. I don't know who, like, it's one of those things where like, you know, the Magic drafted Jet Howard. Like, of course they're only going to say good things about him. And like, so I don't know, who knows, but like we have only heard like, oh wow, like the Magic really like him and they think he's going to be good. And you know, the year last year in the G League, like did him some good, cause he kind of figured some things out and was able to play consistently, which he wouldn't have obviously if he was at the NBA level. I'd just like to see what we have in him, you know? And I think a lot of Magic fans would. And like, I know what we have in Gary Harris. Like,
right.
Like, are we willing to take the gamble of saying, hey, we might not win as many games this year, but for the long run, we might be better if we actually give Jet some minutes, or, you know, Jet or Anthony some more minutes, because that's the future of, at least hopefully the future of what our team looks like.
I look at Gary Harris and I do. Yeah. I mean, he is a blocker in a sense in the rotation to those younger guys. But I also look at Gary Harris, who's probably going to miss 25 games. They're probably going to have to load manage him. And, you know, if Anthony Black takes a step in his shooting, defensively, he's already probably as good, if not better, than Gary Harris. I'll say he's better than Gary Harris as a defender. He's got bigger size.
He's a better
size.
Shooter I thought he was going to be, too.
You know, super low volume last year was like one a shot per game, you know, but like, you know, he was hitting them at like, I think he ended the season like 38% or something like that, mm-hmm. which is really nice. If he ends up, you know, confidently nailing shots in practice and training camp, you know, when he does get called up to play, starts hitting shots, getting more aggressive on and off ball, I don't think Gary is going to be a complete, like, he's not a player that's going to, like, the management is going to say, like, no, you can't outbeat him. Like, I think they will allow the young players to outbeat him, but I think they're going to make the young players earn it and like kind of prove it when they do get an opportunity.
Yeah, that's
like,
fair.
They probably start Gary at the start of the season, but like, I wouldn't be surprised if by Christmas time, like he's kind of being somewhat in and out of the rotation, cause Anthony Black is just stepping in. And when his number's called, like doing well, I do feel for Jet Black, like, or Jet Howard, like he could, I think he could be good in theory. But it's like, how is he going to get on the floor? I even wonder a little bit where Tristan Da Silva gets minutes, and he's, mm-hmm. you know, he's 30 or 23, you know, pretty experienced college player, should be like pretty NBA ready. You know, I think Da Silva probably takes Joe Ingles minutes. You know, Gary probably takes Markelle Fultz minutes. And then you just kind of got to like figure some things out. I guess the one silver lining, Steve, is like coach likes to play an 11-man rotation pretty darn long into the season. So we'll probably see a decent amount, yeah, a bit of that kind of stuff going on. J.I. will miss some time from here and there. So that'll like cause some things to, you know, some rotation decisions. You know, they could go kind of small in the second unit with running like Mo at the five, Tristan Da Silva at the four, you know, little things like that. So it'll be interesting. What did you think about bringing back guys like Mo Wagner and I think Goga? Kind of like, I don't think it was super shocking, but I also think a lot of us were expecting he'd get poached from another team potentially, yeah, or maybe even go overseas. What were your thoughts around bringing those two back on the, you know, pretty team friendly contracts?
Yeah, I feel like Mo, we needed to bring him back. I mean, unless you were going to go out and sign somebody who was going to take up his salary or his role. But I think most Magic fans, like, he's a valuable bench guy. I mean, he was like a literal game changer at times on offense when he would come,
yeah,
in
totally,
with his energy and his scoring and his rebounding. So, and obviously, you know, his brother plays on the team. Like, there's just, again, it's another one of those, like, don't screw with the good vibes things.
Yeah.
I think he's such a fan favorite. And it's not just like a fake thing. Like, he actually brings value to the team that I think it's a no brainer. And then with Goga, yeah, I didn't really care really one way or the other, I feel like. But the fact that he's back, I'm not mad about it. I'm happy. And, you know, what is it? Where the Magic are essentially paying their three centers what, you know, what OKC is paying for Hartenstein alone. So I like that. That's great. I mean, I would have been interested in Hartenstein depending on what the situation was. But I love Mo. I think he's just like a kind of guy who you need like kind of crazy guys on your team, a couple of them, and he's crazy. Like, he'll just kind of fight anybody at any given time, or he just like, he's not afraid to beat his chest after he, like, you know, gets two rebounds and a layup in a row and just get in somebody's face and kind of change the emotions of a game, you know, because I don't, you know, Franz isn't really that way. Right. Which is obviously funny because it's his brother.
Right.
You know, Jalen is that way. Paolo, I don't think is that, he's not Franz low level like excitement, but he's not, I don't know, he's just not like a beat your chest like kind of thing. He's like more, I'm gonna let my play do the talking. I think you need guys like that are a little bit wild cards on the team, and I love him. And so I was very happy with that for sure. So, you know, especially because, you know, they're contracts that also, I mean, you hate to say this, but like obviously they're contracts that could be traded, and, you know, yeah, if there's somebody who, you know, like a Darius Garland, or I don't know, name the name, who's out there, and we, you know, anybody other than OKC, we probably have the assets to make a deal or to get a deal done. Although San Antonio's got a lot now too, as well. Maybe not exactly in the young player department, but at least in the draft picks department. But, you know, you feel like if somebody pops up like that, that's available, we have the salaries and the picks and the current young players to potentially make a move. So from all levels, I mean, it was a no brainer to me.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings about Mo. I mean,
really?
He does, okay, bring a lot of intangibles. Yeah, I mean, he brings a lot of intangibles, and you always do need a guy who's going to give it 100% on both ends of the floor, even if he's not always effective on both ends on the floor. Like, I don't think he's a particularly good defender, and I know a lot of people. Yeah, he's just kind of, he's not very good. People love his charges and they're fun to watch, but like, that's kind of all he's got. You know, he's okay.
But he's
at
more for, but he's more
lanes
for like the energy and the rebounding, and like,
yeah,
he totally does in like 5 minute stints can like really change a game. And
yeah,
I, as a, you know, I think a lot of fans of the Mat, or a lot of fans who are not Magic fans that watch Magic games, they're like, well, Mo is awesome. And you're like, yeah, like, you know, he's got his flaws, but like, I think he provides something that is not always easy to come by, right? And
totally.
So to bring him back, to me, I don't know. Like, yeah, he's not a perfect player by any means. He's not I don't think he is a good defender at all. But you're also not really asking him to do that. Like, he's, you know, he's
totally
a backup big. Like, he has his role, and he's going to play in certain games and series, and he's not going to play in others. And there's a reason for that. So that's why I'm just like, you know, for the money it was 2 years. It's the second year of team option too, I
think,
right?
Team option, yeah.
So like,
totally.
Like, what's the, what, you know, no harm, no fun.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you sell everywhere, from their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system. Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. What I love about Shopify is how no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/westwoodone, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/westwoodone now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/westwoodone.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it, Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm definitely not upset about bringing him back, and I'm definitely not upset at the contract. You know, the front office did an amazing job giving them a lot of flexibility with these role players. You know, Gary Harris and Mo both have team options. I think the third year on Goga is a team option. He's guaranteed, I think, for the next two, though. But I think with me, like specifically with Mo, yes, you need to bring him back for chemistry. You need to bring him back for on-court energy and just kind of those like intangibles we've been talking about. But offensively last year, he actually was pretty darn good. And we saw him kind of become this more consistent finisher at the basket, you know, just more consistent in general with a lot of his offensive skills. But I really, truly believe a lot of that was connected to Joe Ingles being a connector with him. You know, a lot of Mo's buckets were made because Joe was just finding him, like feeding him into the right cut, you know, creating like basically you would see him certain nights, like, literally tell Mo where he wants him to go, and he goes there, he gives him the ball, and he, you know, makes the shot or, you know, makes the drive or something like that. And so I'm hoping that whoever fills into that, like, Joe Ingles ball handler role for the second unit can also continue to find that connectivity with Mo, because if not, then he's going to go back to that player he was before Joe, which was a very inconsistent offensive player as far as scoring goes. But he's also that guy you can bring him in for 5 minutes and he'll put up 10 points because he just goes hard every time. So I'm not mad at it. I'm just one of those guys that's like, I don't love Mo, but I see his value to the team. And like, I probably wish he was the third string center and not the second, but that's okay. Yeah.
That's
and
fair.
Like, the contract's great. The contract's great, obviously, you know, give him a bonus. Like, he's probably not worth the annual money if it was like 4 years, but like, it doesn't matter. We had to spend the money, and it's team controlled, and like you said, a tradable contract. If
it's harder to find centers though, in the league than you would think it is, or than it used to be. So
good,
like,
ones,
the fact
least.
That we have three, like, you know, decent centers is, I don't think a lot of teams have like one decent center. I mean, what, New Orleans has no centers, so like, I don't know. Like, and obviously OKC spent what they spent on Hartenstein because they desperately needed that to
the
pair
Knicks
somebody
are crying
with Chet.
That we re-signed Goga.
Yeah.
Knicks
yeah,
fans
so like,
really wanted him.
Yeah, I don't blame him. I mean, because Mitchell Robinson gets hurt all the time. So although his Instagram account claims that he didn't, but I don't know, the numbers tell differently. So yeah, like the fact that we've got three like playable centers is pretty I don't know, kind of rare in the NBA, it feels like.
Did you pay attention to the draft at all? Were you like diving into it and like researching players, or did you do what I did and literally research the guy we drafted the day we drafted him?
I didn't go deep enough to like know a ton about Da Silva. I did get several texts from people who were like, I like this guy, you know, right after the draft. So I'm like, okay, that's cool. Like, that's great.
And yeah.
You know, he fit the Magic's like, you know, background and like body type. So, you know, the only thing that was different is like, he actually could shoot. We finally drafted a guy who's long and lanky, who actually shoots a decent 3-point percentage. I'm kind of with you. I don't have any idea what his role is going to be, because I just don't, there's just too many, we have too many guys. We just have too many players, you know. You know, he's one of the guys where, like, if he went to, I hate to say this, but, like, you know, you go to the Heat, he'd probably play right away and play well. I don't know what he would look like for us. I don't know what he's going to look like for us. I don't know if we even need him to play. I guess time will tell. He'll be competing, I guess, with a few guys for whatever minutes. He is, as you said, 23. So hopefully he's, like, on the more finished product end, and it's kind of like, you know what you get when you put him in. So, but as far as the overall draft, I mean, I really liked Cole Kmet. I mean, I think everybody kind of did. And when he slipped, I'm almost like happy that he was drafted right before us, because I don't think we would have taken him, because it's just, sure, again, it's not who the Magic are as a front office and an organization. So maybe that like made it easier that like we weren't even, if we had passed on him and he was still there, like I think I'd be pissed. But he got drafted before. I mean, he and McCain, like I both, you know, both those guys, like, you know, you like because they're shooters, and you know, obviously you know them because they played in the tournament, and you know, obviously one playing for Duke and one playing for Tennessee. So in a way, it was like kind of good that they got drafted before us, because then it's like, all right, I have no expectations for this pick. Nobody that I really, really want is even on the board. So that's kind of how I felt. I mean, as far as like the top of the draft, I don't know. Like I'm from Connecticut. I live not a far. Actually, I live in the same town as Dan Hurley does. I live very close to where Donovan Klingon grew up. My wife went to UConn. I did not. So like I knew the UConn kids like pretty well. Yeah, I just didn't. I knew there was no way we were getting either of them, so it didn't really matter. But I do like Klingon, although it's kind of a weird fit, I feel like, in Portland. With they already have, you know, 2 Ayton, who I don't really like, and Rob Williams is always hurt, so maybe he will play way more and probably should. And then Castle, I think, is a very, you know, it's a perfect setup in, for the, yeah, Spurs. Like, I think he's totally an excellent player. But again, we are never getting any of these guys. So, you know, though, like Dillingham was another guy. Like, it was mostly just like the big name guys at the top of the draft. I didn't. Once we got to like our pick, I didn't really know most of, or I hadn't really watched most of the guys that were there.
I kind of took the season off for preparing for the draft. I like was going to have one draft expert on, but we had a hard time like connecting schedule wise. It just didn't work out. I listened to some of the episodes from, you know, some of the other content creators that are doing draft stuff, you know, some of the stuff you guys do with Kyle,
and KOC.
Yeah, Kyle, yep. Yeah, KOC, yeah. Kevin O'Connor and Kyle Mann.
They do a great job.
So I got
job.
To listen, yep, to some of that stuff. Yeah, they do a great job. But I just in general was less interested this year, just because like, oh, we got pick 18.
Boring draft.
Like, yeah.
Well, it was a boring draft too.
That too. Yeah. Not a lot of high end, like big names. And so I just kind of like checked out. Like I knew a couple of names. I knew of Da Silva, but I couldn't exactly say like I knew much about him. But I knew he was like, from what I'd listened to, like, you know, Philip Rossman, like on Locked On Magic, he brought his name up a lot. And I was like, yeah, if he likes him, he's probably a decent fit. And so, yeah, I was like pretty psyched once I read up on him. I'm like, cool, 6'8 guy, can defend. Not super explosive, but, you know, has some offensive ability to score a little bit. Definitely can shoot, like, make smart passes, high IQ. So I'm like, checks a lot of boxes for this front office, size, IQ, and, you know, the ability to defend and, you know, shoot. They actually grabbed a shooter. So can't really complain too much, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he fits into the rotation. I guess like if you're going Cole, Gary at, you know, the 1 and 2, and then you have J.I. and Mo, you know, in the big spots, that kind of leaves like the 3 open. And I guess it's like a toss up, like, does Anthony Black get it? Does, you know, does Da Silva get it? Does Jed Howard somehow get it? Like, I'm not really sure who kind of fills that backup 3 spot, unless I'm just like not thinking of someone. Maybe I'm forgetting someone. But yeah, I guess there's some like opportunity there and like that, like kind of like small forward role for some of these guys to like fight for minutes there. With the departure of Fultz. Like, I mean, technically the Magic have 14 spots. There's one open roster and a bunch of two-way spots available. Fultz is a very polarizing name for Magic fans and the Magic community and just, like, you know, the NBA community in general. He was a very beloved player here, a very beloved teammate. Mm-hmm. You know, he... very hard worker. Like, there's really, outside of like some on-court stuff, like there's really not a whole lot of negatives you can say about him as a person and as a player. We wish he was healthier. But were you surprised that, you know, it's pretty clear in my opinion they're not bringing him back. Are you surprised that that is how things happened?
A little bit, but I almost wonder, like, 2 years ago, what was it, 2 years ago when it was when the, like, people, I think, first started, like, kind of noticing that the Magic were all right and had some talent. It was, like, even probably, yeah, it was pre-Paulo. Like, Fultz was a very important player for this team.
Yeah,
like,
he was.
You know, he missed a bunch of time in one of the seasons, and, like, there was, like, night and, oh, it was a season we started, like, 5-20, right? And we didn't have Fultz. Yeah.
Paulo's rookie year,
yeah. So it was terrible. And then Fultz comes into the mix and just kind of like stabilizes the team, because you're asking Paulo, a rookie, and Franz, a second-year team player, to like run the offense, and it's like, that's going to be a disaster. As soon as Fultz comes back, you're like, oh, like this looks like an actual team now, and they play well, and everybody has their roles. And so I was like, okay, is this a thing, or is this just like a one-year kind of, all right, this is what the team needed in this year. Like, he's kind of nothing more than, you know, for at least a building piece for the future. And I think that's kind of how it turned out. Like, I don't think he really mattered and would have mattered bringing him back this year. Like, we talk about the need for a point guard, but I just don't think it's the kind of guy like Fultz. You know, like, you need somebody who's going to make shots if you're going to have, you know, the certain team set up that you have. And he just doesn't do that. I was extremely happy for him. I always liked watching him. As you said, he played hard, like, seemed like a really good dude. I also wonder, like, I don't know if he's that. I'd heard some rumors about him in an injury situation, just like not really being fully healthy, and like if that was going to be like a career problem as well. And I think, you know, we've just seen it. Like, he's had a lot of things in his career health wise, and obviously early on, and, you know, even some his time with the Magic and this past year. So I think taking all that in consideration, like, it's another situation where I'd rather just give those minutes to a younger guy than for sure. Yeah, maybe win a couple more games if we have a guy like Fultz in there, but you're going to be better for the long term if you just kind of see what you have in the couple young guys that I think I'd like to see play more, even if they're going to make mistakes out there.
Yeah, I agree with that a lot. You know, I personally have, like, again, nothing against him as a player. I've just questioned the on-court fit with the lack of shooting and his health issues for quite a few years now. And I'm like, yeah, it's not a happy ending with him, and that sucks. And that's what I think is the bummer here. Like, it's not like he went out like killing it. You know, he did okay in the playoffs. He had some good moments. But I think we, a lot of us wish it was like a little bit more of a happier ending there.
Totally.
And like to see him, like, he's still a free agent, you know? And it's like, well, that kind of sucks. Like, he's like, I don't know. I just feel like the story wasn't the ending a lot of us wanted. But you know, I think he had his time and his place, and the Magic gave him every opportunity to, you know, get healthy. And, you know, they worked with him so much on and with patience and stuff like that. And, you know, it was a good trade for him.
That trade, I mean, it was a no-brainer. The Magic clearly won that the Sixers trade. And, you know, like, it was cool that he was able to sort of like become a solid NBA player again.
Totally.
After people were like, this guy's done, you know, like, he's worth nothing. And the Magic were, I think it was a perfect marriage for each other when it happened. And it just doesn't make any sense anymore, unfortunately. And I think he'll get picked up by somebody. I mean, you know, Milwaukee, who knows, like, they need guys. Like, there's plenty, like, I mean, even, I don't know, the Suns, I feel like there's so many rosters that, like, our roster, OKC, New Orleans, where they have like a million players that I feel like are totally, like, NBA ready players are good. And then there's the teams like the Suns and the Sixers and a few others that and Milwaukee even that like have like a couple really good players and then like nothing else. So I assume he'll get picked up somewhere. He'll get a look. And if he could play, he could play. So I don't think it made any sense for us anymore.
Yeah, I agree with that. Steve, so I want to talk a little bit like less specific about the team for the sec for a moment. And take a media perspective on it. You know, you and I both work in media to an extent. I cover the team on a local level with the Orlando Magic HQ. You know, you're a senior producer person. I don't know your
close
exact
enough, yeah.
title off the top off my off
it doesn't
my head.
Even matter. Yeah.
I forgot your title shortly after you told me, and I but it, like you're deep into the ringer
matter.
And
yeah.
and all that
we
stuff.
Do content, you know?
And
yeah.
You know, you see it from like a little bit more of a national perspective in some aspects. And you know, we have seen the Magic get a little bit more conversation, like be involved in the conversations. They've, you know, from the content you guys have been doing, you know, literally we just mentioned at the start of the show, the really nice article that Michael Pina put out yesterday morning. But like, how do you think the Magic are going to be viewed on the bigger stage and like respect it? Like, we're always going to, the fan base is going to have that underdog mentality and it's never going to be enough. But like, what are you kind of expecting from that standpoint with the Magic's reputation, what they did last year? Like, you know, what are you expecting, more national games, or do you think they'll get more
bare
TNT
minimum,
stuff? Yeah. Like just talk me through some of your thoughts with the Magic regarding like the national media and the bigger stage, like spotlights.
I think last year went a long way in just like legitimizing a lot of the things that people like myself and you and whoever were saying about, you know, some of the guys on this team, like, hey, this seems like pretty good. We've got some talent. You know, I remember saying, I forget if it was on Bill's pod. I said, I don't even know why we were talking about this, but I said that I thought like Jonathan Isaac could potentially be a defensive player of the year candidate. This was before last year. And the
sure.
amount of people that are like, you are such an idiot, dude. Like that guy can't even stay on the court. Like he's not that good. What are you talking about? And I don't know. Like, you know, I've certainly got many takes wrong too, but like, it's good to like, all right, yeah, I was right. The guy's freaking awesome. Like he's Bill, you know, obviously I do pods with him and I'm around him a lot. And he started to like watch a lot more Magic games. And he was like, this guy's like the reincarnation of Bill Russell. Like you were right. You know? And it's like, it's just kind of, it's cool to see like guys have the same national guys have the same opinions of things that we have been seeing for a long time. Cause I'm not one of those guys who goes around and blames the national media or just like your average league pass NBA fan for not watching the Magic. We weren't that interesting
yeah.
for like a long time. So like when it's like, oh dude, you don't even watch our games, it's like, yeah, of course not, we stink. Like why would you watch, you know, I wouldn't want to watch our games sometimes if I was, you know, unless I had to. And that's kind of what it was like for like the last decade or so. But it is cool. And the best thing that happened to this team was, you know, I tell people, like, remember, like it was a year or two after Isaac got drafted in the team. I think they had made the play. It was one of the years they had made the playoffs. And you're like, you know, Isaac is like our future. Like, right. He's the franchise player. If he could just
right.
do this. And to think of where that was and how depressing that seems now that we actually have like several franchise cornerstones and Isaac can just be this like jack of all trades, Bill Russell clone. Like it's just really cool. And I think a lot of people who like the NBA, who are fans or covered or whatever, like they saw the Magic this last season, like that team, like, yeah, they're flawed and whatever. And their offense is kind of clunky at times, but man, like those guys are cool and they all like each other and they play really hard. And that's why it was like one of the most, it was the most enjoyable season since the finals run season in 2009. So like, I do like it. I mean, I get a lot of, the thing is I'm in a weird spot because, you know, I'm not looking for like sympathy or anything, but like I feel like I'm a very level-headed fan. Like I don't really dip into like the I don't get too dramatic or the hyperbole or whatever. And like I look at the team and I will call out flaws or like be concerned
totally.
About things openly. I'm not just like a blind fan who only thinks that good things are going to happen or that our team is the best or our player is the most valuable. So I remember there's a lot of Magic accounts that didn't like me or just like whatever because I wasn't like rah-rah enough when I talk on Bill and Ryan's podcast about like Franz or whatever, or like the future of the team, or like legitimate concerns that I have about roster construction. So it is a little bit weird for me sometimes to like, you know, because I don't like when people are, you know, like, I'm not the only person whose opinion on the Magic matters. Like I
sure.
it shouldn't be. Like there's plenty
sure.
of people who do that. But sometimes because I'm talking on Bill's pod or Ryan's pod, they just think that's what Magic fans think. And that's not always true. But I also am not going to just say like, hey, shut up. Like don't be concerned about Franz and his shooting percentage. Like I'm concerned. Like why would I not be concerned? I think it's going to be okay. I think he'll figure it out. But I don't know. Like I think it's a very weird place to be following this team that kind of has come out of nowhere a little bit. And it's almost like the WNBA in a little bit where like, you know, Caitlin Clark goes into the league and all of a sudden they get way more eyeballs and people like don't like the way that they're talking about it. It's kind of, the Magic are kind of the same way, because they're like, well, I've been watching this team when they were bad for 10 years. Like, you know, I have more of a right to think this way than you do. And that's not necessarily true. So I get it. Like it can be a little annoying when like media members or fans hop on your team's bandwagon and they don't watch or know as much as you do. But I don't know. That's a good thing. That means your team's good and relevant. And again, to your point, like hopefully we get some more national television games and you're in front of fans' eyes more often so they can actually see. But I trust the guys nationally who I know watch games. Like Pina watches games, man. Like he knows that this is like, he's not just like writing, he's not doing First Take where he's just like looking for a good segment. He truly believes this stuff. And same thing with like, you know, our guys like KOC and J. Kyle Mann and Russillo and Bill, like all those guys like watch the Magic and genuinely enjoyed watching them. And I think that's a great sign for things to come, you know?
Yeah. I feel like I'm similar to you. Like, I feel like I can like be level-headed with my opinions on the team. Granted, like I just bashed a lot of people's favorite player on the Magic and Mo Wagner. So
yeah,
like,
that's controversial.
If I can say that, like, you know, yeah, I'll get hate for it. I do it pretty regularly. I've got,
it's okay though. I don't,
over
I just,
the years for not liking Fultz on the roster and stuff like that.
I just hate, I just don't like the fan. Like, I don't know, maybe guys are gonna get mad about this, but like the fans that like think that the team and the players can never do anything wrong is like, what are you like? I know that's technically, that's fanaticism, right? That's you're being a true fan, but
sure.
I don't know. Like you have to look at it with a critical and realistic eye. Like if you see something that you don't think is right or you have questions about, it's okay to still love the Magic and not really be sure about something that's happening or a player that's playing.
Yeah. The fan base, and it's understandable, has a very strong, like, grip around the emotions around this team, which every fan base does. But I think like even more so for the Magic to an extent, because like they were so irrelevant for the longest time. And it's like, oh, they're good. Like, pay attention. Notice us, please, please notice us.
But only say good things.
But only say good things. Don't let the first thing you say out of your mouth be something bad. Like, you know, and that's just not how it works. Like, I work in media outside of this, like this show that I do as well, in a different aspect of the world, but it's just like, that's just not how things work. Like, you gotta like earn some legitimacy, which they did last year. They really did. Like the little 500 run they had the year before Paolo's rookie year, like that wasn't really enough. Now, yes, should Paolo probably have had a national televised game before? Like, he probably should have had one or two more, because he won Rookie of the Year prior, like giving us one or two of those like Wemby games or something like that. Like, that would have been a little nice. But
well, historically, number one picks, like they get national TV games, no matter how bad the team is. Like, and it was an outlier that he did not get that, you know? So that, I think that's like a fair gripe to me.
He was like one of the most underhyped, like, first round picks in a very long, outside of maybe this draft class in a really long time, which was really weird. Like, I think everyone just like kind of like hugged onto the Chet story because he's, you know, everyone loves a really, really skinny, tall dude who can shoot the ball from three. Like, let's not kid ourselves. We saw it with Chet. We saw it with Wemby. We've seen it with a lot, you know, we saw it with Kristaps Porzingis.
That's the
unicorn, right? And so, like, I kind of get why he became under the shadows, but it's like, oh, you would have expected we would have gotten maybe a couple more games last year with him winning Rookie of the Year, you know, maybe flexed into another spot or two once he became an all-star. So that was disappointing. And like, hopefully, like, I expect a good amount more next year. I don't know if we're going to like crack the 10 mark, but like, you know, should they get 7 or 8 games? Probably. Like, that seems like a good number. Like 4 or 5 of those on NBA, like on TNT and ESPN, and the other ones on, you know, some of the other streaming services that are going to be provided or whatever.
Like Shaq kind of jumped on the bandwagon after he got his jersey retired. He started talking about it more on TNT, and
Dwight, you know, jumped back on the bandwagon after coming to that play-in game. Not that
Dwight,
he means anything.
Even Barkley just talking about how hard they play. And then I think, you know, a lot of like the nerd media guys like kind of latched on and were like, oh, like this, you know, this team like defensively is insane. Like Suggs is just like, that was one of the things too, is I think one of the most fun parts of the Magic team was just watching Jalen Suggs play hard every night.
Was so fun.
You know, like,
yeah, he was so
and
good to
you
watch
know, I have so
year.
Many people who like, you know, watch or cover the league or whatever, just hitting me up being like, dude, Suggs is such a fun guy to watch. And he, like, you know, the he offense is whatever. And his offense obviously improved last year again, which is great. But it's just like, there's that Toronto game, which I always remember, where I think it was like right at the beginning, he had like a steal and then like he saves the ball and then it gets passed up to Franz, hits a three and he's pumping up the crowd. It's a timeout. It was like literally like 3 minutes into the game, I think, or something. And you're like, yeah, dude, this guy is so pumped to just like be playing basketball. And that's what watching the Magic were like. They're like, they and you see like the halftime interviews, like they're all clowning at each other or whatever, like, or they post game interviews with Dante and all those guys. Like they clearly just like, there's such a great vibe around this team and they're young. You know, and I think, you know, fans get carried away because then you're like, oh, like our young core is just as good as OKC. And you're like, well, I could be realistic and say it's probably not. OKC was the one seed in the West this year. Like,
MVP,
you know, they might,
candidate.
Doesn't mean it can't be better, but yeah, like I think the good news is, it's a really likable team, and Apollo is like a top 10, 15 ish player, which I think he's capable of being in the next few years. Like all that media stuff, that'll take care of itself. If anything, it's going to be like the expectations are going to go through the roof, and then it's going to be like, hey, lay off our guy because he hasn't won enough yet. You know, that's sometimes becomes the concern. So I think the team's in a great spot. You know, I think obviously, I know nobody wants to hear this. I'm not from Orlando, so like I don't mean to be rude or anything, but like it's just like it's one of the markets that's just tough. It's a tough sell, you know, like it's
totally.
Even though I think the fan, we have great fans and we have great fan support. The arena is awesome when especially last year when things are going well. It's just, you know, it's for the league to like not put the Magic on national TV. It's not a hard choice for them. You know, it's not like the Lakers or the Celtics or whatever. Like, it's not even really the middle ground, like the Sixers or whoever.
Right.
Like, we have to prove to the rest of the league that we are worthy of that, which is unfair, but it is the way it is.
Yeah, and like that's okay. It can be okay, you know, because as they, you know, I have a friend, Philip Rossman-Reich. I'll shout him out again. He says this all the time. He's the host of Locked On Magic and Orlando Magic Daily editor. He says this everything all the time. Winning cures everything. The more we win, the more relevant the team's going to be in every spotlight. So like, last year, the team won, right? Granted, you know, they didn't win everything, but like they got to the first round, played a really respectable, you know, regular season, a really respectable playoff series. That's going to gain them more attention from, you know, outlets like The Ringer to, you know, national televised games and things like that. And granted, I think The Ringer did awesome last year with the Magic. There was like, seemed like every other week.
There was a couple of blips.
There was a couple of blips and that's okay. But like, you know, like, you know, Bill and Russillo would like talk. It wouldn't be surprising to have them be a small, you know, segment on the show. Like, oh, we got to talk about, you know, the Magic for a second. They've been on a little bit of a run here or something like that. And
there was,
I think
one
it's just
game
gonna, we're
going
to continue to see that.
There was one game against New Orleans. We were like going to tape Bill like after the games that night or whatever. And he was watching the Magic Pelicans game. And it was like, I think it was like the game when Isaac just went nuts and
won
the game.
Yeah.
And Pablo looked great. And he was literally just like, dude, I need to have you on the show like after this game is over. And I was like, oh, this is it then. Like, we've kind of made it. Like, you know, if that's,
he
starts talking about you guys can get the 2 seed. And we're like, oh man, like this, we have really kind of hit the mainstream, which is great. So I love it. I embrace it. And the cool thing too was, you know, like the first 2 games, obviously the playoff series were really rough for, I think, all Magic fans. It was not fun. You know, we got our asses kicked pretty badly.
Yeah.
And I was like, kind of quietly, like, we're going to be fine. For a lot of reasons, one of which I didn't really fully trust Cleveland, but I'm also like, I don't know, like we were kind of in both these games, even though they were really sloppy, and we had arguably like the 2 worst offensive performances in the history of the playoffs. So like, it could only go up from here. And then it was just, you know, obviously losing Game 7 sucks, but turning that thing around, like if we had gotten swept, I think there'd be a lot of different conversations this offseason about like what this Magic team is. But the fact that They did come back and they were up what 20 in a Game 7. You know, I think that does help their perception of like, oh, they didn't just get run over in the playoffs. They actually fought back, forced a Game 7, and that was maybe the most entertaining series of the first round.
I was at game six. I flew home for a wedding. It just so happened to be like the day in between the wedding rehearsal and the wedding itself was the Magic game six game. So I got to go, and it was one of the best Magic games I've ever been to, hands down. And one of the best games I've ever been to in general. And that's with me going to Golden State Warriors games, you know, almost every season for the last 10 years since I live in the Bay. You know, I've seen Steph go off for 50 and stuff like that. And the old Oracle, and that was so, so fun, so special. And like, they've definitely accomplished and overachieved every goal that they set for themselves last year, at least that I set for them. And, you know, they say they're not satisfied, and I love that answer from them. And, you know, again, they're so young. It's crazy. It's crazy to think that we're going to be able to enjoy this team as long as Suggs doesn't get a max contract, because then Paula will get a max contract and things will get really, really complicated. But Suggs is not getting a max contract. But you know what I'm saying? Like, unless something really weird happens, like, the core of this team is going to be together for a good amount of more years. And we should be like a playoff team, you know, for the foreseeable future, which is going to be really fun. And then, you know, hopefully in another couple of years, like true contenders. Yeah, not next year. It's probably not going to happen. I wouldn't be surprised like you if they made it the Eastern Conference Finals. That's not my expectation by any means, but like, I wouldn't be shocked if it somehow worked out that way. We just saw the Pacers make it that way. And that team is, I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to talk too much about them right now. Good team. Obviously they made the playoffs, but like, major flaws on that team too.
Totally.
Where I think the Magic have rounded some of our big flaws out to an extent, you know, with just like adding a guy who's missed like 20 games in the last six seasons total with Caldwell Pope, which is a huge upgrade with health. And, you know, we would expect Franz to take a step forward and find a middle ground with his shooting again next year. Like, I don't expect him to be a 40% shooter, but can he get back to that like 36% from three? Like, that would do wonders, you know? You know, if one of these younger guys with Anthony Black, Jet Howard, or DeSilva like clicks and becomes a really nice contributor, like, great, another good thing there. So it's like, we just have a lot of things to be really excited about. You know, as fans, we're going to have a good team on the floor next year. You know, as people that work in media and enjoy listening to media, like, we're going to get the Magic team, we're going to get talked about a lot more. They're going to have more national televised games. It won't be enough, but we'll have more. So I'm just really looking forward to it, man. Steve, we've been talking for an hour. So what I think this is probably a good space to wrap it up, but I really appreciate you coming on the show. It's been a minute since we've done this. I think we had you on pretty early on in last season. I'm sure we'll touch base again soon. I'm sure we'll get you on the show when it gets a little bit closer to the season time, or maybe when season's actually in play again. But I just appreciate it. Thank you for all the work that you do at The Ringer and your guys' coverage. Tell them to cover the Magic more. Like, if you have any influence, like, Bill, we need a 20-minute segment once a week. Like, something like that would be great, or a dedicated show just for the Magic. If you can pull that weight, you know, like, let us know. We'll help you work on the details with that too, or something like that. But appreciate it, Steve. If you want, go ahead and plug where people can find you on Twitter. And yeah.
Yeah, I'm at Sir Rudy, not Sir Rudy, like a Knight of the Round Table, like some people think, C-E-R-U-T-I. You know, obviously Bill's pod, Ryan's pod, popping up here and there. I'm doing a lot of soccer actually recently. I'm a big soccer guy, so the Euros and the Copa have been going on. So we've been doing a lot of pods for the Ringer Soccer Show, which has been fun. So
that's awesome.
So yeah, I, as always, I appreciate you having me on. It's always good to talk Magic. I know it's like it's cool because, you know, I like being the guy who like non-Magic fans will be like, hey, like, what's this, or who's this guy, or how, what do you think about this? But I don't really, you know, other than like my text thread with Kevin Clark, I don't really get too many like, you know, one-on-one Magic conversations that are going on. So this is good. It's always good to pop on.
I love it. Yeah. Anytime, man. If you ever want to nerd out and talk Magic, hit me up, but obviously I'll probably hit you up as well. So,
yeah,
Magic fans, thanks for tuning in to the show. You'll hear me again in 2 weeks with the current off-season schedule of the show, where my show is alternating every other week with Alan Anthony, the flagship Orlando Magic HQ show. So I'll talk to you soon. Until then, let's go Magic. Peace.
time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Wake up to a delicious morning with your favorite McDonald's breakfast sandwiches, now just $2, only in the app. Choose from a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, sausage McMuffin, or bacon, egg, and cheese McGriddles, just $2, only in the app. That's a deal as irresistible as the sandwiches themselves. Plus, you'll save time by ordering ahead in the app. Offer valid one time per day from July 29th through September 1st at participating McDonald's. Must opt in to rewards.
Me and the kids were always messaging. They LOL'd, I ROFL'd. But then I changed phone and the bubbles went green. But where there's a fill, there's a way. And I found a way to share what's in here. I'm tapping my heart.
WhatsApp, the place to safely send messages between different devices. Message privately with everyone.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat. Literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.